Weaver of Context, Caroline Casey. So, actually, yesterday, April 15th, was KPFA's 71st birthday, just for the fun of it. And remember that when she was born, the goddess Pacifica, which is the same day that San Francisco was born, the Sun and Venus and the North Node are all conjoined at a woman bursting with gifts more than she can hold. And we go, ah, the spirit of peace, may she be strong, absolutely. And today, the moon's image is a white dove descends bearing a message of peace. So here we are. Partnering with the guiding vitality of emergent nature, we welcome back legendary rock climber, nature mentor, denizen of Yosemite, Ron Kauk, to proffer guiding scouting reports, the Good News Channel, that we all be guided to redesigning human culture because there is no normal to which to return. His website is sacredrockrok.org. Welcome, Ron Kauk.
Hello, Caroline. Great to be on your show again and share this ceremony that we like to say is what it's all about and the healing medicine of nature, and especially at this time we're all in together. So I really appreciate this opportunity from the El Portal, where I live at the entrance to Yosemite Valley. You know, it really is interesting, like a portal, like all the water that flows from the top of the Sierra Mountains, you know, and the sun's getting a little warmer, so it's melting, and all the waterfalls that pour into Yosemite funneled down right through this little town that I'm in, and I can hear that river now, you know, and just ponder how beautiful it all is.
Because that's what we were speaking of backstage, you know, we're honoring the portal before which we all stand, and you live there, that's so great. You know, and framing, you know, again, you can paint with words, you know, and invoke, you know, that what's coming back in Yosemite and allow that pulse. And I was saying that when I was honored enough to kind of skid in late to the people who dedicated much of their lives to bear's ears in Utah to protecting that, and it was established by Obama and now being dismantled by the Trump regime. But I'd mentioned what a beautiful thing that Native people had established a working relationship with the federal government. They were going to have an entrance into the huge Bears Park through a wedding of modern science and Native traditional teachings, so that people came through the portal, you know, with a sense of portals are sacred, here's manners, this is how you go forth into the wilderness. And we were thinking that would be great for Yosemite, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. And what a great example that is, to work together with tradition and culture and spirituality from the first people of the land to keep that realm of humanness very strongly connected, and then honor our science, you know, and some of the technologies that have helped us out. But it's obvious time of balance, rebalancing, and even all the climate change that we're involved in. I thought to myself that this climate must change inside ourselves, you know, the climate change inside ourselves to connect, reconnect, reconsider, reimagine our relationship to the earth, you know. And that's where we've all traveled from through our ancestral lineage to continue to survive. So it's always about survival. And here in Yosemite, you know, they closed the gate on us a little while ago. So they've been mentioning, oh, you know, the bears are wandering around and the deer, and it's all coming back, you know, the animal life. And I thought, well, that's so interesting to see how the nature comes, always wants to come back into this harmonious flow. And now it's up to us to consider, as a human being, how are we part of this harmonious flow? So these places like Bears Ears that were protected for that opportunity for the public, even in modern urban settings, to go to have this experience, to have this relationship that is so important. And that's what our nonprofit has been about for all these years, is to help our children get this kind of education and connection for their foundation with the earth, and some might say a spiritual foundation, meaning respecting life, you know. So we're at an incredible point right now to gather ourselves in what you could be considered we could be considering that we're all on a vision quest of some kind, or a fast, or whatever you want to say, when we're locked down, you know. And I did send you a very interesting statement from a grandmother, a Hopi lady, just somehow came through, you know, in the internet stuff, and she's talking about that, you know. And I thought it was very interesting, and, you know, kind of maybe interesting to share if you mm-hmm. had that or I don't know what you think about that. You go for that.
Okay. And also, I should, in the realm of everything being quirky, right, because many people want to bow out of Facebook, and reasonably so and all, but the Hopi grandmother's posting was on Facebook. So everything's nuanced. Okay, back to you.
Right. And on sincerity, you know, and that's why this message is so important to flow through. Just like all the water, when I was mentioned coming down from the mountain Sierra, there's going to be little creeks, there's going to be bigger rivers and so forth and so on. So this came across my track, and I like to listen to elders personally. So this is one of the elders, White Eagle Hopi Indigenous. This message was written on March 16th, 2020. The moment humanity is going through can be seen as a portal and as a whole. The decision to fall into the hole or go through the portal is up to you. If the repent of the problem and consume of news 24 hours a day with little energy, nervous all the time with pessimism, they will fall into the hole. But if you take this opportunity to look at yourself, rethink life and death, take care of yourself and others, you will cross this portal. Take care of your home. Take care of your body. Connect with the middle body of your spiritual house. All this is synonymous. That is to say the same. When you are taking care of one, you are taking care of everything else. Do not lose the spiritual dimension of this crisis and have the aspect of the eagle, which from above sees the whole, sees more widely. There is a social demand in this crisis, but there is also a spiritual demand. The two go hand in hand. Without the social dimension, we fall into fanaticism. But without the spiritual dimension, we fall into pessimism and lack of meaning. You were prepared to go through this crisis. Take your toolbox and use all the tools at your disposal. Learn about resistance with indigenous and African peoples. We have always been and continue to be exterminated, but we still haven't stopped singing, dancing, lighting a fire, and having fun. Don't feel guilty about being happy during this difficult time. You don't help at all by being sad and without energy. It helps if good things emanate from the universe now. It is through joy that one resists also. When the storm passes, you will be very important in the reconstruction of this new world. You need to be well and strong, and for that there is no other way than to maintain a beautiful, happy, and bright vibration. This has nothing to do with alienation. This is a resistance strategy. In shamanism, there is a rites of passage called the quest for vision. You spend a few days alone in the forest, without water, without food, without protection. You go through this portal. You get a new vision of the world because you have faced your fears, your difficulties. This is what is asked of you. Let them take advantage of this time to perform their vision-seeking rituals. What world do you want to build for yourself for now? This is what you can do. Do serenity in the storm. Calm down and pray every day. Establish a routine to meet the sacred every day. Good things emanate what you emanate. Now is the most important thing. And sing, dance, resist to the art, joy, faith, and love. So I thought that was pretty good.
That is pretty good. We can just fold up and go have dinner now. That's excellent. In so many resonant ways. And thank you. And what is the name of her?
I should have said that right off the bat. It's Margaret Curry. Maybe her name's Whitey too, or that's where she's from. I don't know, but Margaret Curry. We thank her. That she might not even have realized this extended out to all your listeners and warmed up our hearts and minds to know we're all connected.
No, it's so great. And my friend Virginia Daly, great landscape and animal painter, when she went to study with the Lakota long before that was a thing, and they said your paintings are great, but after you spend time on the hill in just a way that Margaret Curry was describing, no water, no that, just there. They said you'll be able to paint the spirit of the land and the spirit of the animals. And that's what happened. And I think we can tease that, you know, the portals are a place of great dedication for all of us. And where do we want all of our craft to deepen after this retreat, but and then teasing it into every mundane thing, everything. So I like the story you told about spiraling out of polarity. Do you want to tell? Well, first we both just got back from barefoot walks, which was really good. We are very lucky, and we really want to send this to all beings who are not as lucky. You know, to walk barefoot is really good. I by the Potomac River that flows into D.C. and you in Yosemite. So grounding is available. It's available. It's these small huge things. And again, I was going, oh, nettles. Thank you. That's wonderful. I made nettle paleo pancakes. It was really good. And everything that had been too tingly in my body was quite calm. But then you have this great example. So the park was, Yosemite was shut down March 20th. Interesting.
Right.
That was the vernal equinox. So then just your small, huge story of encounter. Do you want to tell that?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. And I did want to just say about the barefoot. It was great to call you earlier, and I was standing barefoot, and you mentioned that, and how profound that practice has been for me, just to look at all the things around you. And this time has really put us in a position to look at things very closely. That's kind of the good news channel, too, to be thankful for what we do have. And this is also a time to give thanks for all the people suffering out there, for this opportunity, like the lady was saying, our elder, about creating that vision of what would you like to see the world be. And you know, in there right now in your house, and know that you're appreciated, and that it's just given us a chance to really understand who we are and the power we have, and that we are divine beings, So there's something going on collectively, how we support each other. And so back to this Yosemite story where, it's a World Heritage Site. Millions upon millions of people visit here for that rejuvenation, that healing, the impressive nature. So I've been here, I've saved most of my life, and rock climbing and connecting and building that relationship. And then, I went up there before it closed down, but all this virus had already kicked in, and it just stopped everything in its tracks. There was nobody up there when coming into that valley. No cars, no people. And I was like, man, this feeling is very different. And it's not that it's to say it's bad when the people were there. It was just a different feeling, a presence of the vibration of nature in a very pure kind of thing, and it was affecting me. And I was looking at things just a little bit more clearly, like how beautiful this world really is, and to be able to see it for that. So I went in and walked around, and in fact there was one lone guy walking down the road as I was coming, so I had to kind of go alongside my car, and I said, hey, how are you doing? He goes, good. I go, man, this is amazing, huh? And we had this very interesting conversation. I didn't know him, he didn't know me, but there was an obvious, we were the only two guys standing around, or I was driving. But we related to each other on a very powerful level of appreciation of everything that was around us, and we kind of threw that out to ourselves, too, to say, where will we go from here, And I took off, and we kind of had that little friendship bond right there, and then went over, and there was no one around Lower Yosemite Falls, and that's a place where typically you could probably have literally 1,000 people going up to look at it. So I said, I just have to walk over there and check it out. So I went up there to the base, just standing by myself, thinking about water again and taking it to another level of how precious it is. My body's made of the water. Thinking about our kids that are incarcerated right now. They don't have that good water down there. And thinking about how to continue to build these into the educational system. And just took some time there and went down to our new village that's being built for the native community here, a new roundhouse called Wahoga Village. And took a little time there, called an elder, and just told him what was going on there, covered some wood with this and that, then went on out. And then a couple days later, I went to go up into Yosemite, and when I got to the gate, there was a law enforcement ranger there. He had his bulletproof vest on and pistol and his coat zipped down a little ways with a camera sticking out of it. And I'm not trying to say he was good or bad or anything. That's just how he was standing there. So I drove up, and I said, how you doing? I'm just going to go check my mail, and one guy goes, well, do you have your employee ID? And I go, no. He goes, well, you can't go in. Oh, I can't go check my mail or get my water or do any of this. No, just the way it is. And I kind of tease him a little bit. I say, well, I go, it's like history repeating itself. He goes, what do you mean? I go, well, when the cavalry came here, and I just be telling people how they had to do things. And And I said, you know, you have a job, you have to do what you're told, so you're telling me I can't go in here, I got to listen to you. So it's all good, and, you know, thank you for your calmness, and good to visit. And here's my car to work, you know, here with the kids and do this and that. So we had kind of this interesting visit. Then I left. And then about 2 weeks later, Elder calls me from down here. He goes, you want to go to Yosemite? I go, yeah. Because it was our normal bear dance ceremony weekend. And so he had found a way through their liaison to go up there, but just him. And I got the honor of helping him out. So I followed him up in my truck, and we met a ranger at the gate. And then I recognized the ranger. We used to rock climb, still rock climb, but he's a law enforcement ranger. And so he was smiling, and we all took off up there. He kind of had to escort us. And we stopped by the spring where we get the water all the time. You know, that quiet, peaceful feeling was there again, that kind of energy that was taking you to another level of yourself to understand how beautiful this place is and all the natural world. Getting that water, I was telling you, you know, I've filled up my bottle many, many times for years, but this is a different day because it was kind of taken away. You know, they said you couldn't come up here. Filled the bottles, and the elder was talking to him, and we were all just getting along. Then we went over to the roundhouse, and that was where the ceremonies always take place years for years, every April and summer and autumn. So the elder said, well, get the fire going in there. Okay, and then he goes, I'm going to have him help us. I go, okay. So, you know, long story short, it's next thing we knew, that little sage stick's going around and people saying what they want to say, and, you know, elder, a ranger, myself, and then he dances, so he danced around, and we might have had a song or two, and then, you know, he picked up this rock, and it's, you know, for the connection and all this, and he had me put my hand on it, and he had the ranger put his hand on it, and that was part of that connection. So what we were sharing earlier is about how did that happen from 1 week to the next, where you're blocked, you can't do this, can't do that, and all of a sudden we're together. So I had to look at that as a nice opportunity to say, you know, we're all more alike than we are different, and the future is going to have to be about working together and making sense of all these things through, like you said, it bears ears, the scientific understandings and the spiritual connection, you know. So that's a little story.
So, well, it is, and it's the Yang guy got to take off of his constraining costume and enter into ceremony, and that's, I think this is really, you know, because grounding, spiraling out of polarity, it's part of our dynamic, you know, nature resolves all conflict with a spiral when conflicting forces come together, spirals. So, yeah, and I think that's part of our, you know, that humans have manners again, and we have our strategy, and we're gathering from a deep place our strategy to dream and implement the desirable world into being. And part of it is ally etiquette, right? Yes. And trickster's overhead, really great right now. Trickster Uranus, nature's evolutionary genius, has once again, at the degree where it was all last summer, which is 6th Taurus, which is the woman of Samaria at the ancestral well, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. You know, may we be fluid and spiraling, and it takes practice because people's herumphitude, you know, reactive mode is, and we go there, easy, we're doing that. And yeah, may we respond, but that's really great, because it's, what does he really want? What did he really want? To be part of ceremony. And everything is like a little micro, macro aphorism.
That's right. I should say, it was good too when you say Coyote Trickster, that when we pulled up behind that area to go into the roundhouse, that coyote was standing there looking at us.
Oh, I love that.
You know?
I love that.
So,
I love the... Yeah. No, that's great. And I love the recording of the coyotes in downtown San Francisco, empty streets. And it was like, oh, it did my heart good. I so love that shrill, shrieking thing. It's like, it's the call of my people. But again, in the coyote way, you know, to... not worship the impediment, whatever it is, but to engage it as incentive to experiment. That's what Coyote does, which is, so there's a guy there, and you don't go, blah, 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 you didn't do a bull primate thing, right? Which is like, it's time for everybody to grow up, right? You didn't go, blah, 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 blah. You go, all right, thank you for being this, you know, thank people, and and we'll see where we get danced.
Yeah, and keep tuning ourselves, because, you know, the Rangers are up there. They're trained in EMT. They help people. They protect things. I mean, we all have kind of a purpose, you know, but as we blend our purposes into the unity that for the greater good of all, this is what's exciting about where we go from here, because this is, when I'm talking about, you know, this human thing, and I was joking around with you a little bit, but when I asked you, were you created? And then you said, yeah. And I said, yeah, me too. And to look into our humanness is so exciting for me now, because a lot of the obvious things have gone past us. And when you were talking about the coyotes down there in San Francisco, you know, I felt so good when you said that, because it's recognized as medicine and healing for the human spirit, the soul, whatever it all is. Our connections are so beautiful and profound. Like we say with the waterfalls, what is it so much about a waterfall? The water connects you. Mm. So I'm really feeling like it's just like the nature was talking up there when we were listening to. Now they're all up there in Yosemite, whoever's up there running the place, getting some kind of, I would have to say medicine for the evoking the human connection, because they're saying, oh, the animals are all coming back. So there it is. It's talking. Everything's saying something like we've talked about before. So if we can pick up on these messages and bring them into the context of reality, we can maybe move forward through this portal together and protect life, you know? So that's the good news channel that we're saying, and there's so much good. You know, that sun that's up in the sky is very good. The earth that turns is very good. It's keeping us alive. And I think if we can tune into that right now and take the time, this is an incredible opportunity, since we're kind of put in the position to have to take the time to open ourselves up to know who we are a little bit more. Because there's a great power in that, in a healing medicine, like our immune system can function a lot better with positive thoughts and connections, you know, to this reality. That's where I feel the dedication of nonprofit is to create this educational for our kids to really feel the connection, because the computers and the violent games, it kind of distract. There's a lot of distraction.
Right. No, that's an important theme we want to put on our council, our Virginia Activist Radio Council, in which all dynamic listeners were all present there. Yes, what is a distraction? So, you know, in self and others, because we're all kind of sharing a frequency, I've talked to so many people who are in a yearned for solitude and in pretty good shape, you know, but fixating on the many frustrations that they've hired as a distraction, going, I can't do this thing because I have to fix this broken drawer or whatever the thing is, but I can't do that because it's like, there we go. And it's a little anomalous, but I was thinking of it when you were speaking too. But, you know, we thank people for what something, you know, and sometimes what we wish they were doing, you know. But I remembered, you know, we're remembering just everything. Reading Jimi Hendrix talking about a conversation he had with a hooker, and said, you know, how do you do that thing? And she said, well, everybody's got something lovable somewhere, and you just got to find that thing. Okay. So it's Jimi Hendrix quoting the hooker, and then back to us going, everybody, you know, and again, the principles we practice, you know, whatever we speak to one another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. This is, I think, really good to play in these realms, because we have this, you know, we can withdraw from the hot, reactive, human-dominated environment periodically, and in order to prepare for what's ahead and how to provide guidelines and you know, everything into the cauldron, what shall be laid aloud is part of our, you know, part of our dynamic. So, you know, so what's a distraction? You know, and then to the beauty. Because as you were speaking, I mean, I know that you do not use entheogenic plants. Some of us do, so that we can feel like you. But as you're describing it, it's very entheo, psilocybe, mushroom available to everybody now. Meaning the colors are deepened, the sense of kinship underneath that, the distractions are swept away. There's nothing else that we should be doing but looking at this tree. I mean, and partnering with what we love. So there's the focus thing, and then
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so important because it's you know, entertainment that we get on TV and stuff is one, but the INNER entertainment is so exciting of a channel to get on because it's true. When you truly, this is what happened to me the other day. After going to that ceremony and being up there with the elder and just that little portal opened and we went through, they let us through and we did that. Next day I went down to get some firewood. I stopped for always a second by this little rock I got and think about whatever I want to think about. But I was going, man, if we can really see the true beauty of this world we're in, it's so incredible, that reality channel, and we're connected to it. We're made up of the earth. These things, if we can get this back in our psyche, there's such an unlimited amount of love and nurturing. I mean, we're on a Mother Earth. We're on an Earth, you know. To bring that into our psyche, and the beautiful thing is, think about it in your own way because it's your mind to use as you would like. You can think what you want. So like you were saying, I don't mean to get all crazy about distraction here, but it's just an idea of what are we spending our time with in our mind? How much time are we thinking about our own body? In the beautiful realm of design, we've been created, you know, and like I say, I'm not trying to fall off onto religion or anything. I'm not like for or against the religion, whatever, but common sense is a really good thing to connect with now. It's a good thing to connect with because it is based on common sense. We breathe the air. That life, how precious is that? What is that worth to us? To see the color of the grass that I'm looking at right now out the window, you know, what's that worth to me? What are my eyes worth? These are the basic things, and one of our guys said way back when, we need to get back to the basics. And the way he said it and how he led into that, I was like, that's a powerful statement. As simple as that sounds, but it's, right now, we're being forced back into the basements. We have to stay shelter in place. That means you've got shelter, and you've got a little food, you've got water. So we're all going into this kind of little curious sacrifice, or like that lady said, a vision, a quest for vision. If we can get ourselves together right now and think that this is what we're doing, this is what it's all about, in another consideration of what we're here on this planet for, we're looking for the vision. If we can get that going and get tuned into ourselves and really know who you are from inside yourself and get that climate balanced as you would like to have the outside world balance, when we come out of this, we could be so incredibly powerful and ready to make the changes that need to be made according to what's happening in Yosemite right now when it's been allowed to be natural with the balance of nature and where we humans just fit. And that's why Yosemite has a long history of people living there that was in balance. It was left in a very beautiful way. Now it's our job to manage that and bring in good ideas about how to go forward. You know, so this is an incredible opportunity because life is an opportunity. Everything is an opportunity. We have to understand that. And again, it's still to have compassion and support for the people who are getting into that little bit of a struggle. There was a brother down the street. I seen him at the store, our little store down. He goes, yeah, I think I'm getting that corona depression. I go, bro, what, you know, but go for a walk if you can, because we have a little room to walk here. But he just said that. And I was like, yeah, I bet that how long it's been now, it could start to get to that little wobble, like if you were up on that fast in the mountain, it's your third day and you got one more day to go. Let's look at it like that, you know, or like we're in that sweat lodge. It's the third round right now. It's the healing round. So let's just imagine ourselves all in that healing round. So we're thinking about ourselves and our family and the world and you know, that woman's round, healing. So if we can get ourselves
gonna take
in that psyche.
Yeah, we're going to take a very, very short break, but when we come back, our guest will continue to be Ron Kauk, a legendary rock climber. I want to tease some of what you know from rock climbing and transforming it and mentoring the youth and wishing them well right now, too. Denizen of Yosemite, what's coming back? And so, yeah, there's many things we want to put on our altar of desirable animation as we, there's no normal to which to return. Yes, and the things we got, okay, we have grounding, we have spiraling, we have story, we have portals, and when we come back, we will have mentors, nature as a mentor, Chiron as a centaur, and we go, okay, and this is Caroline Casey and the Visionary Activist Show, and we will be right back after this very short break. There you go.
She shook the constellation and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eye. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chiny, 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 come blow my chiny home. Ooh, chiny, 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 come blow my chiny home. Telegraph my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Our return guest this hour is wonderful ally Ron Kalk, denizen of Yosemite. And the way I often just explain to you and explain you to others in a short form, going, well, we met as Librans on the phone, right? That was good. I go, does balance have much to do with your life? And you were like, yes, keep going. And then I learned what a great rock climber you are. But as you've been dedicated to taking that from a kind of macho thing, guiding youth and humans and all, you know, back into it as a cooperative kinship thing, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, which is crucial. And then you're mentoring with the youth, which we, that's right, we do not call at-risk youth. We throw at-risk into the cauldron because it's a spell.
Right.
So how do you reference your youth allies that we want to send much goodwill to because they're back inside now, right?
Yeah, I never did like that, you know, youth at risk, child at risk, or however they say it. To me, it's just our youth, you know. And and that's why, like, you know, and now, like I said, that when we were saying earlier about kind of being inside our little retreat, to imagine, you know, 10 years we've been involved with the incarcerated youth, foster care, Boys and Girls Club, or, you know, whoever, any kids, and you know, trying to grasp what situations they're coming from, and it makes me interested about the history that got us to this point, because a lot of times at juvenile hall, I'll say, you know, this building didn't even exist about 150 years ago. It's a whole other story, so what story are we in? So that's back to this time we're in again now to ponder how do we lift ourselves up in our youth, you know, to get a better understanding of how precious they are, how important they are, how intelligent they are. That's what I like to say to our kids now is I see the intelligence in you, you know, that's so important to have that self-worth. And I think that's where we've been challenged about the value of life has been put so heavily on economics, and it plays a big role in health and well-being, but it doesn't take away from the value of who you are as a human being. You know, so that's where the nature allows us. That's why whenever the kids come up here, they get to be kids again, you know, and they instantly play and enjoy themselves and get along. And you know, so that's very telling about the nurturing of nature, you know, and to bring that into our psyche. So when the future of Yosemite here and our nature places could even serve a higher purpose of awareness for health and well-being. And it's being said, you know, that there's a nature therapy, and there's a lot of different words that are coming up to talk about that keep our kids grounded, because a lot of them are struggling, you know, with attention deficit disorder, they want to say, and anxiety. And now, you know, there's another thing about now is the anxiety, you know. So if you look out at the trees and that kind of stuff, it's just calming.
Right. And then I always love you being calming, taking from rock climbing, you know, it's when you were speaking of your friend who was saying, I think I'm getting corona depression, and we go, that's pretty lucky, really, actually. But see, the trickster Saturn dynamic would say, depression, still too shallow, go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've spoken before about, you know, up a cliff, running into an impediment, that you don't have time for fear. Wait, no, guide us through this thing, because it's always been so simple to you and reassuring. Like, no, when you're frightened, then what?
Yeah, that's beautiful. See, I was set up by adults. Even the high school I went to offered rock climbing, miraculously enough, and they taught us the fundamentals of protecting yourself. to prepare yourself to go into an environment. So as I learned those techniques and kept building myself up, I had like a mechanism built into me of how to place the gear and when to place the gear, and fear became just a simple gauge. So if you started to feel what could be recognized as fear, you had to think clearly and calm down and make a decision. Okay, put in some more gear in the rock or back down. So it helps build a healthy mind, and I'm so thankful for my education in Yosemite, climbing the big walls and the little rocks and just being in the presence of such beauty, because it allows you to develop your senses. And this is what I see as crucial for the human being to come back to our senses, because it's been recognized maybe we've been desensitized. So fear can take us over. Then our minds shut down. But a rock climber, your mind stays open, and you take responsibility to that fear, which means to think clearly and make a decision on what to do, right? So that's how my mind's always working. So I see all these things as it's always an opportunity to find a solution, you know? So that's what climbing has helped me with, is to kind of, you know, I guess in a way you could say make friends with fear or respect fear as just simply an opportunity to make a clear, coherent decision calmly to the best of your ability.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a Saturn. Saturn is our authority, and we are here, you know, kind of proclaiming our availability to be danced into place where we can do the most good, have the most fun, contribute our gifts, you know. And authoritarian, right? Authoritarian is what happens when we don't all have our own autonomy, our own authority. And we go, but I wanted to give us as two Librans cahooting, my one of my favorite useful words now is deliberate, because it means from Libra, and it comes from two words, liberare, to liberate, and librare, to balance. So to be deliberate is to be in a state of liberating balance. Isn't that great?
Oh,
I just love that.
That's so good.
Because you're a very deliberate fellow. What you're talking about is the qualities that we want to cultivate now is deliberate. You know, again, Libra, to liberate and to balance. To be deliberate is to be in a state of liberating balance. And that's because it's highly responsive, right? I mean, and that's also part of your rock climbing, you know, is like a responsive going, okay, where's this is not happening, where's that? And
yeah.
It kind of goes with, you know, what you were saying, and I sort of cooked this up with an ally, Jason in the Nines, who said, you know, why do we argue so much for our limitations? And so I go, let us advocate for our blessings as much as we used to argue for our limitations. These are just kind of working things here, just to draw upon. If we all did everything we knew, we'd all be in fantastic shape. But I think that's the deliberate dedication of now, and that's why I like, you know, all the small things. You know, it's like, I mean, I am lucky enough to walk with the dogs by the river. I feel very lucky, very lucky, very lucky. And I like my little cuckoo ramshackle house. And then for those who aren't, you know, but again, that's what we want to waft, you know, to your kids, you know, back incarcerated, to people imprisoned, and to, you know, to the concerns of continental Africa and the defunding of the World Health Organization and all those who Egypt, you know, and all those who cannot socially distance because they're so packed in, you know, to send them, what would you send them, a sensual atmospheric embrace from Yosemite? What would you loft out to all of those?
Yeah, thank you for saying that and asking that, because that's what I will do if we're in our ceremony or if I'm just standing barefoot in the backyard. And once you feel your connection, the strength of your connection with the sacred, the earth and the sun, and you're communing, it's a natural response to care. So I'll do that in my mind. I'll send out thoughts for the people that are suffering, you know, to make them feel a little bit more comfortable or more opportunities, you know, and that could come their way for healing, and really sincerely send that. And I feel that's a reality of our power of thoughts, because they say thoughts are energy and it travels. So I think that within that tuning and strengthening yourself to give thanks for your life, it gives you the energy and possibility to give thanks for another life, you know. That's kind of what that lady was saying in that quote we read up front, about taking care of yourself is taking care of the other. And if we catch on to that, it goes back to mentioning Gandhi and become the change, because we have that kind of power to make a difference just by being okay with ourselves. Once we make that, you know, if we make that connection, then we can help ourselves to help others. And I think that's going to be part of the whole shift, that paradigm shift of consciousness some people reference for the future, that going through that portal, is to realize how important it is, our thoughts and our compassion and care for others too, and our connection. So Yosemite's a very beautiful place to do that, because it's just, you know, it's a mystery, these certain places, and I just know this is one of those places. At least that's how it works through me. And I think the world is so incredibly beautiful. We're connected to the world in such a powerful way that wherever you stand is going to be a good place to do that, you know, even in your living room or whatever. But if we can clear our minds at this time to limp, you know, kind of tune down the chatter of putting so much emphasis, like you were just saying earlier, about certain little things, that become really big things, and in fact maybe they are on some level, but we're still in the universe. We still have a sun overhead, we have the moon, and we have all this beautiful nature and all the beautiful animals. They're out there trying to make it too. So, you know, when we say all my relations, it's a way of understanding that profound, beautiful connection we have with life, and that's in us. That's what we're made of. You know, we're connected literally.
And just for the fun of it, I mean, tonight, everybody, democratically, if you can look out the window, we can see Venus very bright after sunset, high in the sky, in Gemini, you know, reminding us, again, the beautiful astro-mytho guiding language is not a belief system. It's just a opportunity to expand our dedication. And Venus in Gemini is all about everything is conversing, and it is, you know, beautifully dancing with your chart, Ron, because I love just bringing up when you were born, Uranus trickster is at 10 plus Leo, whose image is children swinging under the shade of a huge oak tree, the borrowed strength of all spiritual traditions in nature mysticism. And we go, that's very you. And it's all coming alive now. And then for all of us, it's to give fresh expression to and vernacular expression to old things. And I do think part of what has been seeking to find us all, wherever, whatever our circumstance, Uranus says everybody has some unique thing, not special, because that's a colonial celebrity term, but every, you know, the more we are unique, the more we encourage everybody else to be unique.
Right.
It's liberating. And Uranus says nature's evolutionary genius is honing each one of our uniqueness so we can feel the texture of our contribution, not a hungry striving for status or anything. And I just wanted to put out, you know, Taurus is also the throat, and some, you know, we're all, you know, piles of notes or things are surfacing, and so here's a little scrap of paper that I brought up about Venus and Taurus. When we speak of what we love, our voice is strong and attractive as equal to animals. But when we complain, our voice gets weak and whiny. Anyway, so I'm just letting the random notes surface, and I go, I think that's useful too. That we do want to, you know, it's like Robert Bly, great buddy, quoting Kabir, says, "Your depression is caused by your inability to praise. A man who is depressed is a thief and steals from God every moment." We go, and sometimes people who are very depressed get grumpy about that, going, "Oh," and it's like it's just one thought. There you go.
All right.
You know, so. And then, you know, we'd mentioned, you know, the kind of guiding opportunity for us now, you know, which is what guidelines, right? Trickster says no rules, but guidelines, right? And Aikido, it says don't block, guide. There we go, over there, you know. And what guidelines would we like to imaginatively all of us put in place for as things resume in a changed and more reverent and ingenious way? With full support, because we know that, you know, the duct tape, you know, inadequate, corrupt systems of support, as opposed to real social security, you know, is collapsing. And again, what shall we ladle out, you know? And, you know, whatever you want to say from where you, what you love, but I want to just put one more thing on the table for us to all play with, right? It's the repurposing of things, right? There's so many, you know, there's a lot of goodness. There's a lot of goodness going on. You know, advertising company goes, no, never mind about advertising. But what could we do? We could make a short film about unity, which was indeed very beautiful. You know, and then the repurposing of sports teams, right? And we go,
yeah,
right.
Uh-huh.
Yes, the New England Patriots plane is what delivered supplies to Boston. The repurposing of the police, of the army, of the loggers and the fisher people, and the, you know, to become stewards in the new Green Deal economy, right? And that, well, that's what you've been working for, really, in a lot of ways, right? I mean, that you're guiding people into their true gifts,
All this stuff is great, like you said, to put on the table, you know. And for me right now, what I'm feeling is we got to make a commitment to ourselves. We have to stop every idea of anything that distracts us from being ourselves and not feeling good. So if something's not making you feel good, try to adjust yourself and say, what's going to make me feel good? To recognize the value of myself and the potential in myself to be part of this change that's needed. That's the that's setting the compass in the right direction for all of us. And as we do this, I feel like that we get better at reading the signs that guide us to our higher purpose, our ability to be helpers, healers, menders. But that first awakening is to ourself, to come back into harmony with your own being, you know, and break the spells that limit us and tell us we shouldn't be this, we shouldn't be that, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's one thing I learned from my mom. I've learned many things from my mom, but she instilled in me, do not say can't. Don't say can't. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she said, if you're going to be a rock climber, be the best rock climber you can be. So I took off at a young age with my mom's blessing to not say can't and be the best that you could be. And that kind of support, you know, really paid off. It helped me. And that's the kind of support we want to put out there now for all of us. To not feel overwhelmed, if we can help. You know, it's part of being human. We have our little emotions like the weather, but our foundation should be based on the precious divinity that we have in our being. Maybe that word's too much, even that. The preciousness of who we are as a human. If we can start to heal ourselves from that place, right where we're standing, every day a little bit, I think it'll all start to come in together with our language, our sincerity, our tones, our ability to communicate, because we understand that communication is a big factor. That's why in the media, if it's controlled and it's going to tell you 80 billion times about the coronavirus or the 9/11 or the whatever it all was, it's hard on us, you know, and we're caring people. So, but our minds are being kind of like over inundated, not to disrespect any of that. But the real respect we have, that we need, is for ourselves. And to think about who you are with your body, the immune system you have, that's very important to keep our immune system strong. You know, try to eat the good food or you know, be calm enough to get good sleep. You know, that's why all these ceremonies are important for us to come together equally. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is to raise our morale and self-respect. That's what I try to share with our kids, you know, down there, and keep making sense of the value of yourself. And I think that could be a way to get through this portal, like our elder was talking about, you know. And it's a good reference, because we will come out of this, but it's going to be a big question of which direction are we going to, do we want to go together in step, in heartbeat, in breath?
Yeah, and we are remembering everything surfacing. And I just want to bring up a memory of a particularly great thing that the Yes Men did. I don't know if you remember who they are, but the Yes Men are great, liberating cultural pranksters. And so some years, and they were really good at mimicking, but it was really for liberating purposes, absolutely. And so they were disguised and invited as representatives of the World Trade Organization to address the International Conference of Accountants in Sydney, Australia. And they came out and did World Trade Organization kind of generic blather. And then they said, we've come to you, you know, because we are played out on greed. And we want to create a global economy that really supports all of life. And we've come to ask for your help. And every single person at the conference was like, yes, we're played out on greed too, right? So it was a prank that exposed people's goodness. And I think we're getting pranked now, right? Yeah. And it's the mega yes men, the yes men and women. We're being pranked into our goodness, going, we do want to participate in creating structures that are good for all beings. You know, the businesses, it's all very molten, isn't it? And therefore imaginative invitation, which is why I just, you know, behoove self and others on our team that we be, you know, magnetizing, come this way. come this way, as opposed to like, oh, and if you knew what I knew, then you'd be depressed too. And it's like, no, we do know what you know. We're just going this way.
Yeah.
Right. So we're playing. I'm sorry. Say what?
No. It's just really exciting to make our strengths stronger rather than our weaknesses stronger. And it is a choice, you know. Right now, if we can just think about, can we get stronger? Can we get the connections? You know, again, to get our minds in a story that's real. The Earth, the Earth is a big deal. I mean, we're being taken care of by the Mother. The Earth provides everything for us. So where's our loyalty to the Earth? Why would we neglect that in our thoughts when we wake up in the morning? How about just a little moment to connect your mind, rewire our minds back to our connection? You know, the Earth is a powerful, loving being that provides everything. The sun, the same thing. That's why when we did that reading way back when, I was saying to you, oh yeah, with like these things are so obvious, and she says, yeah, but they need to be heard. And I think that's intriguing, because now it's a time to think about the value of things like the air and the water, but to another level. You know, so if we can get that mind going back that direction, it's a foundation to stand on to have less fear about things and more connection to the good news channel that we've been trying to work on this whole time. And allow ourselves to get stronger and caring. And what we can think about, too, is the little children. That's a motivating force to think about those little children that come into this world. You know, and I was thinking about when you asked me about the border way back when, the locking up of the people at the border, separating families, you know, and the children. And you know, I couldn't even hardly understand how to answer that at the time. And I don't know if I still can, but it just shows you that the bad behavior and the... I don't know, in a way, it's just ruthless, you know. But we're here to be compassionate, caring, loving human beings. So we need to be strong to be able to do that. We need to start a direction, but not be overwhelmed like the whole world's going to change next week. We're in a part of flow of history to set up generations to come. But that's what that lady said. First, take care of yourself. That's a responsibility and an opportunity, you know. And I think that creates a relationship with you and the world on a whole nother level.
And I think, you know, it's also from your rock climbing and a friend is secretly wondering what you think about when you're climbing the rock. And I just want to say, but you probably think about the rock. But anyway, what is it you think about when you're climbing?
Yeah, it depends on the situation and what, you know, how difficult the climb is and what's, you know, certain risking or this or that. But it's always totally committed to the reality of where you
right.
are. So
right.
if you put
there
your
you
foot up off the rock and you're on a little foot edge, you're completely aware of that your big toe is on that edge and it needs to stay firmly and securely on that edge, concentrating on it to lift your other leg and begin to go up the rock. So it's an incredible practice of being focused and connected to and responsible for every move you're making. And like I say, I think my mind's developed in that way to try to, you know, bring that into the context of living on the earth and making sense of what move do I make next at this stage of life to help others, because I've been given so much help to get to this stage. So it's a natural process, right?
Right. No, that's a great example of a simple thing that is very wonderful coming from your voice going, you got to be committed to reality. And it's like, that's so radical. Committed to, here we are. And, you know, because remember the many times I've hosted you, I mean, one of the several whiles ago, but it was when the fires were raging in Yosemite and you wanted to go back to be in them, to report from them, to go, I want to hear what they're saying, right? And then we had a show with you and Deborah from Syria, because Syria also was on fire. You know, and again, all related. But so Venus and Gemini right now for all of us would say, you know, this, the crisis, the illusion of sudden, simply means we weren't listening. You know, and you know, and I keep thinking about the Chilean coal miners who were, you know, down there for like 6 months before they were rescued. And when they got back, the first things they said was, "No one was listening. The mountain was talking to us long before its collapse." You know, the listening. You know, some, you know, sort of tough radical writer was saying, I just heard a squirrel. I've never heard a squirrel climbing a tree before.
Yeah,
anyway. So listening,
beautiful.
Listening.
Yeah, well, reality isn't a beautiful thing. You know, to get an understanding of reality is so beautiful. And that's why I try to bring up things like the heart beating in your chest. That's very real. Thank you, heart. You know, thank you, taste buds. It's reality. And once we get on the reality channel, the delusional channel sort of like take their place too. For, you know, I enjoy watching Netflix like anybody else, but I love my reality channel. Like today when a swarm of bees came by, there was a neighbor standing back there, and she does bees, and she goes, "Do you hear that swarm of bees?" I'm like, "No." And then she pointed, and there was a swarm of bees. I go, "Well, do you do bees?" She goes, "Yeah, I got a little honeybee thing or something." But there was this swarm of bees going by, and there was a red-tailed hawk going by, you know. And when we can look at this world for how incredibly beautiful it is, it's just very inspiring. And then all of a sudden you can look into yourself and say, "Wow, I feel inspiring too to be me." And all of a sudden you're shedding so many things that this lightness of the day hits you with that profound reality. That's a ball of fire in the sky. Wow, that's amazing. You know, so what were you talking about one time? The drugs, what did you say? Oh, man, you made a pretty good comment about reality is much more interesting or something like that. No. But this is where we're at now, because we've kind of had it pretty good with convenience and entertainment, and it's been fun, okay? It had its fun moments. But now it's like click to the reality channel and start to realize how good you can feel about yourself just being you. Well, and then that surface.
That's true. And then my quipster itself, that it's the bumper sticker that says reality for people who can't handle drugs. And we go, we like that.
Yeah.
Because it's very entheo now. Those of us who, you all the time, you know, the entheo sacraments are to get into your appreciative dedication to reality, going, everything is listening. You know, if we're not terrified, then we can listen to the storm, we can listen to the thing, we can listen, and information, and then information cooperation, then what shall we do? How shall we give original thought? How can we repurpose? And we're seeing so much ingenuity, you know, great things are brewing. All right, we're in our last little moment here. I'm going to hand it to you just to waft out a very short blessing, Ron Kauk. His website is sacredrock.org. Whatever you want to say, Ron.
Yeah, well, I'll just go back to the incredible opportunity was to go up with our elder the other day into Yosemite, go in that roundhouse, and normally it'd be a couple hundred people, but he put the word out there that it would be happening, and the people were tuned into it, and that little ceremony was for everyone that's listening and not listening to make this world a better place, to get your healing, to get your medicine, and to keep us, you know, together as one. One human being, like our one elder said too, there's one air, one water, and one Mother Earth. So it's that unifying that we're looking at, and that was.
I think you went away. Thanks to our board op Rod, and I'm Caroline Casey, and that was Ron Kauk, and we will reconvene next week. I couldn't tell. All right, thank you, team.
Delay.